How are you this morning? Are you ready to hear the word of God?
Yes.
Good. I like that because if you are not ready, I don't have to serve the word of God to a church that doesn't want it. Because I know you're hungry. Thank you, worship team, for the awesome worship. And thank you. I'm particularly happy that I came for the Holy Communion too. I love Holy Communion. Thank you so much. And thanks, Dave, for inviting me. When Dave speaks, you think I'm a bishop, but the feeling is mutual. He's my friend. I look forward to seeing him. I know the month before we didn't meet, so I missed that. So it was good to see you on Friday, and we had a fantastic time together. The ministry is fun, it's good, but it can also be lonely when you don't have people that you can unburden to or share with. So it's always a blessing to have somebody to share that with. I will pray. Lord, I thank you for this next few minutes that we're going to spend together. Thank you for the teachings and the discussion that has been going on over the last few weeks regarding your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray today as I speak your word that your Holy Spirit will not only speak through me, but you will enable the hearers to hear just what you want them to hear. You speak through what I will say. And just cause them to ignore the things that's irrelevant, but to remember those things that you want them to hear. Even if it's just one word, let it be from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. See, as a preacher, one thing that gives me comfort is that if God can use a donkey to speak, definitely I have hope. You know, he can use me. So I'm believing God that he will bless you today. Today I want to talk on what I have entitled The Purpose of the Holy Spirit. Sorry we don't have a PowerPoint. I was planning to do that, but I got distracted with many other things, and I wasn't able to do it. But I'm going to try to make it short so that you remember the important things about the meeting. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to throw that out. When we say the Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind? Just shout it out. Anyone? Power, yes?
Peace.
Peace. Love.
Passion.
Passion. Everything is coming from here. These are very intelligent, spirit-filled people. Maybe I should focus on them then. Yes, good. More. Guidance, wisdom, yes. Authority, yes.
Understanding,
yes. There's more. Shout it out.
Kindness.
Huh? Kindness, yes.
Fruit.
Sorry, I can't.
Helper.
I love that, yes. Somebody say something.
Fruits.
Fruits, yes. You see, a lot of the time when we talk about the Holy Spirit in the church, we're talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, isn't it? We are talking about the gift of the Spirit, broken, you know, that you can summarize into three: the power gift, the utterance gift, and also the revelatory gift. And so that's how we know him most of the time. Many of you will be happy to be described, you know, people know you as, what do you do? Kanye, what is your job now at work? Huh? Phone accounting. Did you say phone accounting? Investment fund accounting. So, will you be happy if we just describe Kanye when they say, Kanye say, oh, he works in fund accounting. That's all he's about. There is more to him than that. Or he's a worship leader. He plays keyboard. That does not describe him. He's a born-again Christian. He's a married man with wife and children. He does many things. There are many things to him. So, with the Holy Spirit, it's not just what he does in us and through us. We need to know who he is. He is God. He is God, full stop. He is the self-existing one. He doesn't need anyone or anything to help him to be who he is. And God is the only one that is self-existing. Everything else that exists in God and through God and empowered by God. He lives in a world of his own. You see, we worship God today. God loves our worship. Awesome. But the truth is, it makes him happy. But even if we don't worship, it doesn't change who he is. He really doesn't need our worship, but because he loves us, he enjoys it. So he's God, he's awesome God, he's the power of God. And so when we come, when people say, they say, the church that is filled in the Holy Spirit, we think it's a church that is just moving in healing and miracles and signs and wonders. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift, the person who is, if I receive, Dave, you know, give me your phone. Thanks for giving me this phone. My daughter was looking for a phone recently, but Dave gave me this phone, and I use the phone to make calls. Does this phone tell about my ability at all? Just because I have the best phone, does that make me the best person on earth? Doesn't. Does it even mean that I can afford the phone? No. It's a gift. So your gift does not define who you are. Your gift is because of the person who gave it to you. So just because we moved in the healing power and miracles does not mean that we are a church that's filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't. It just means that we believe God and have faith in His Word, and when we act on that particular word, miracle happens. There are pastors who are going about healing people and miracles happening and siphoning the fund of the church, sleeping with women, but miracles still happen. So it is not the gift of the Spirit of God is not a yardstick of measuring the move of the Spirit in the church. It just shows that the power of God is active. So just because bless me with money and I have big house and I have food and we live in abundance, I can trust God for money and He blesses me, does not mean that I am living in the will of God, that the Spirit of God is moving in my life. Those are manifestations. There are many parents that are good parents that they look after their children, and the children use their money and live out well, and they don't have the same quality of their father. They can enjoy their father's wealth, but don't have the standard of living that their father had. Does that make sense? So gift is good. It shows what he can do through us, but that does not describe him at all, if anything. We must first of all push aside those gifts when we want to talk about him. Let's not just talk about him in terms of power. Let's talk about him in terms of who he is. And when we understand who he is, we find our place in him. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. So today, if you forget everything I say about the Holy Spirit, remember this. He enables you to be. It's about being who you are because of Him. It's about living. It's about living. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the disciples were asking, they said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they were asking, I said, it's not for you to think, you know, to know those things and the timing. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is what? Come upon you, and you shall be what? You shall be. The key word there, it's not the Holy Ghost, it's not power. Seriously, we emphasize the Holy Ghost and the power. The key word there is be, and we miss that word. We just say, and you shall receive power, and we preach on that. After you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we emphasize that. But as a result of that, you are supposed to be. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's about Him enabling me to be. It's about you being as a result of his presence in your life. Say being. Say with boldness. B-E-I-N-G. How do you pronounce it?
Being.
That's what it's about. When I go to my place of work tomorrow, he wants me to be. He wants me to be. And how does that happen? That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at three things. One, the Word of God. Two, prayer. Three, worship. The Holy Spirit, his main job for you and I and the church and humanity is to help us, to bring us to a place where we have a good relationship with the Father and the Son. That's his job. The sum total of the work of the Holy Spirit on earth and in our lives is to bring us to a place, not just you and I, but those who are in the world there. Jesus was saying to them, he said, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, I think this is in John chapter 16, from verse 7. He said, when he come, he will teach you all things. Then he started to speak about the word. He said he will convict the world of sin. I think that's from verse 12, 13. Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He said he will convict them of sin. Why? What does that mean? How many times do we go out preaching the gospel, telling people about God's love? You can preach the best sermon on earth and it will not convict anyone. You might be good at condemning people, which the church is good at doing. We make them feel condemned. And the truth is, God never condemns anyone. Condemnation comes from judgment. It's on the day of judgment that God will pass condemnation because they will have no hope. It's too late. But God brings conviction, not condemnation. And so every time when we hear the word and we feel condemned, it's not God. He doesn't work like that. The Spirit of God will convict you. He will not condemn you. So if what I'm bringing to you condemns you, then I might be an anointed man of God, but it's not God speaking through me at that time. It's supposed to bring conviction. So he convicts the world of sin so that they suddenly realize that they are hopeless state to say, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. And then of righteousness, when you suddenly realize that my good works cannot give me righteousness. Righteousness comes from God. I inherit it from him. And then of judgment to say, the prince of this world is judged. If you don't repent, that's what you will get. Judgment. A few weeks ago, was it last week? A few weeks ago, must be September, I think. Must have been September or earlier. But one, you remember Jeff? Jeff Winston, he passed away. He's a 90-year-old man, almost 91. He would have been 91 the 30th of December. So if a very close friend of mine and one of our leaders in the church, very godly man, he passed away. And on his last day, the day he passed away, I was there with Patricia, and we were with him. The family visited previously, and they've gone, and we used to take it in turns. I phoned them that I was there, and then when I leave, I phoned them that I was leaving. And 10 minutes before he passed away, he took the oxygen mask from his face, from his nostril, and I said, Jeff, what is it? I said, is it time? He said, yes, it's time. 10 minutes later, he died. But I want you to hear this. At one point in his bed, he tried to get up. He was looking in one direction. I was thinking, what is it? What are you looking at? And then he cried out, God Almighty. And he was trying to get up. I didn't realize he was trying to get up to prostrate to worship him. I said, what is the problem? He cried out when he saw God. And then he passed away. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring you into a relationship with God. That's why a non-believer will not see that. Because if they don't know God, they're going to hell. God will not be there to welcome them. So if you take the Holy Spirit out of the world, this world that we live in, it doesn't matter how many sermons we preach, nobody will get it. He brings conviction. And sometimes as pastors, we want to control people. We preach sermon from the pulpit to address. Why not just call the person and discuss the issue with them? Why does it have to be a sermon? You did that wrong. I don't agree with it. Let's settle it. Finish and move on. Sermons are meant to be word of God to bring the mind of God to people. You know? And sometimes people will say, oh, let us pray. And in a prayer, bring those issues out. It's wrong. It's not the way to do things. When it comes to things like I will share with you today, so the Spirit of God is to bring us into a relationship and enable us to enjoy that relationship as it's meant to be. He starts that first and foremost by revealing the Father to you. He reveals the Father. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. In order to be his witnesses, you need to know him. You need to know who he is. Because this is not, the witness here is not just talking about the legal part where you go to court and give evidence of what you saw. But this one is about being that witness. If it was just sharing the gospel, that's easy. But to be the gospel that other people read and know God, that's what we're talking about. Because God knows that there is no way, we have nothing within us to live that God kind of life. No human being had the ability to do it. So he gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us, to teach us. The Bible says he will teach us what? All truth. Let's look at the scripture. Praise God. John chapter 16. From verse 7 to 15. But I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I'm reading from the Amplified Translations, please. For if I do not go away, the helper, somebody said it before, it's a helper. The word is parakletos. One who come side by side to support you. He's a helper. See, he will come. Come with me, bro. And this labor supporter. Yes. See, what the Bible is saying is the Holy Spirit will come side by side with you. Go wherever you want to go. Anyway, direction, go on. Okay. Just do whatever you want to do.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in a pantomime.
You are?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you see, relax, okay? You're not, you don't have to do anything.
I'm an actor anyway.
Oh, good. Well done. You see, wherever he went, I went. Everything he did in his life was there. Sees everything. Never goes away. Always there. I want to ask a question. Why do you think God gave us the Holy Spirit to stay with us all the time? Why? Anybody? Shut it out. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't overthink it. Just say what you think. We wouldn't know what to do.
We need him as our help.
We need help. To enable us. I don't need to preach. You guys have my sermon already. That's what it's there for. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot live this kingdom eternal kind of life. You see, eternal life is not just life without death. When the Bible is talking about the eternal life, we're talking about, because the people who don't know God, we also live after their death, but they will live without God. Eternal life we're talking about is the God's kind of, the life God has. His very life is giving us. His kind of life. The God kind of life, no human being has the ability to live it. Because it's God's life. And so he put his Holy Spirit in us to enable you and I to live that life. And so the work of the Holy Spirit in our Bible is to teach us all truth, he says. He didn't say truth. Truth is one word. And the truth is one person. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when he's talking about Jesus himself as the truth. And the scripture tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And that word is Christ. In the beginning was Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning, and all things were made by him. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. Can you get that? And now he said, in him was life. And that life is the light of man. And that light shines in darkness. And darkness could not comprehend it. We are talking about him who was the Word. So when the Spirit of God now says that, the Bible says he's going to teach us all truth, he's talking about reveal the Word of God. And that truth is Christ himself. So in order for us to live that life, he brings that God into our being. He reveals, he teaches, he talks to us about God. So some of the ways he does that, I want to just rush through them three so that we can have time to pray. What time did you say we are finishing so that I...
Oh, I don't know. Have another 5-10 minutes.
5-10 minutes, we have time to pray. Good. I want to rush through that then. And we'll have some time to pray. The reason why I'm rushing through it, I could spend some time just to teach it. What I have here, I have been teaching in my church for about 6 weeks now. So the idea is not for thorough teaching. The idea is for us to get the highlight and then go into demonstrating it. Does that make sense? One of the ways that the Holy Spirit does that, now that we know that his purpose is just to make us know God and have that deep fellowship. And also, in knowing God, we get to know who we are. Because we cannot really know who we are until we know who God is. In God, we find out who we are. So he shines the light on the Father and the Son, and then he now shines the light on us. And tell you, this is who you really are. And you think, Lord, you don't know me. But you say, Lord, I created you. This is who you are. It might be different from who you think you are. Because you are doing things you're defining yourself by what you do. But we know that if we define ourselves by what we do, we are not fully describing who we are. What you do is not who you are. Who you are should come, what you do should come out from who you are. It doesn't make who you are, it should come out from who you are. Because I am a son of God, I can live the God kind of life. Does that make sense? I might not be living it, but I have the ability in the person of the Holy Spirit to live it. So what he now does is to teach me who this God is first in his word. And as we walk on God's word, he starts to say, this is what God can do. And you say, oh, wow. That's why when you become Christians, God's just awesome. Oh, you just see God's love, awesome. You see God's grace. You cannot have enough. The Spirit of God is shining his light on the person of God. Because the one who you probably used to be the center of your world, or your dad, or your mom, or your teacher, or whoever was close to you, then he starts to tell you that I am the center of your world now. This I am. and you stand in amazement. And when people get to know God that way, you know what they do? It's worship. Lord, what will you have me do? Paul, who was killing everyone and arresting Christians, what happened? When he saw him in his majesty, fell to his ground, to the ground, Lord, what will you have me do? That's what God does. So one of the ways he does that is through his word. He starts to teach us his word. And I think it's in James 1:18. He says, whoever hear the word and doesn't do it is like a man who looks in the mirror and see who he is. And as soon as he leaves, he forgets what he looks like. So what's that scripture telling us? It's telling us that the word of God, it's a mirror that shows us who we are. Not who we are meant to be, but who we are. Do you get that point? Sometimes we think the word tells us who we should be. No, the word tells you who you are. So when you look at the mirror, you see, this is who I am. I am what the word of God says. I am not what I have been through in life. I am not what society has defined me to be. I am not what experience has shaped me to become. I am not what the church has taught me to be. I am not what the educational system has trained me to believe about myself. I am who the Word of God says I am. In my living, I haven't learned how to live it. This is who I am. Just like when you give birth to a child, they have everything they need to become. They are a fully completed human being. But what do? They now grow to learn how to live. If you bring up a child in China today, you bring another one up in India, another one in the UK, their understanding of themselves would be different. What they eat, the kind of food they eat will be different. The accent, the language they speak will be different. If you now teach all of them to speak English, they will speak it with different accents. Why? Because of the environment they grew up in. But if you take a child that's Chinese, 3 months old, and bring him to England to live, he will speak, by the time he's 21, he will speak English perfectly with English accent. He's Chinese, yet he's Chinese. It's the same way you, myself, as Christians, see, when we are Christians, when we are children of God, we live in the world, so we develop the language of the world. The job of the Holy Spirit now is to tell you, hey, this is who you are. This is how you are supposed to live. Because of who you are, this is how you are supposed to speak. This is how you are supposed to behave. And so he enables you to do that. The way he does that is through his word. I tell you, every time you hear the word of God, the Spirit of God comes alive. Every time you pick your Bible to read, the Spirit of God comes alive. Every time you declare the word of God, the Spirit of God comes to enable it. The word of God is life itself. And so, whenever you read the word of God, the reason why many of us don't fully benefit this is because when we are reading, our mind is somewhere else. Because I say, okay, let me read of God before I go to work. My mind is already at work. How do I catch that truth so that I don't miss it? But remember, the Bible says to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. So when you bring the word of God, you have to come in the tripartite person that you are. Spirit, soul, and body should be fully there. You have to train yourself to deal with the distractions. Learn the way to cut everything out so that it can be you and God. I want to tell you, every time you bring the word, you open the scripture to read, the Spirit of God is present in a very manifest and tangible way. He is. Every time somebody comes to preach the word of God, the Spirit of God is present, very tangible. Where unfortunately, most of the time, because we are not aware, we are not able to take advantage of it. But He's there. Same thing when you declare the word of God, His Spirit is released to make it happen. And so when we start to speak as children of God, don't think too much about how it will be done. When you declare His word, it is His responsibility to carry it out, not yours. So if God speaks to me, and every time you release the word of God out of your mouth, the one who is hearing it, to the devil, to the outside world, it is as if they are hearing the word of God directly from the mouth of God. That's why they obey. It's authority. Ultimate authority coming from the mouth of the ultimate God. They have to listen. They obey. That's why you can speak into somebody's life, it will come to pass. So I want to encourage you, when it comes to the word of God, know that the Holy Spirit is there to do it. Secondly, is prayer. Prayer is not just about asking God for something. Prayer is more than that. Prayer, when we pray, prayer can either transport you to the place where God is or bring the throne of heaven to where you are praying. It's as powerful as that. It's, seriously, prayer is a part. I know what I'm saying. I have experienced what I'm telling you. There are times when God has showed up in my prayer, I ran away because it was so scary. I'm telling you the truth. It transports God. You know, the throne of heaven come to your room in prayer. Or God will take you. So it's a medium of living in God. It's a relationship we're talking about. Jesus said in Matthew 6, say, when you pray, say, "Our Father." What does that tell you? It's a relationship. Me and my Father in prayer. Our Father, who is where? In heaven. So if He's in heaven, in order for us to deliberate prayer to be heard, it's either He comes to meet me here, or He's taking me there to meet with Him. In prayer, and that's those two things that come in prayer. God takes you to His very presence or bring His very presence to you. It's as real as that. You don't have to be the most righteous man to know that, or woman. You only just have to believe it and know that that's how it works. So you expect it. The Bible says that when Moses entered the tent of meeting, this was even in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit had not come to dwell in man. This Bible says when Moses entered the tent of meeting, Exodus 33, and he shut that the pillar of cloud will come. Everybody will know that God is there. And Moses will be meeting, it will be him and God. That's not just for Moses or the prophets. That's for you and I. Every time you sit down to pray, know that God is there. You need to believe it and you need to expect it, because if you expect it, you will see what you expect. We don't always receive what we ask for, but we always get what we expect from God. That's why He says, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith gave it to you. You expected it. The third one, way that the Holy Spirit does this, is in worship. When I'm talking worship, I'm not just talking about what Kenny and the team did. That's a very small part of worship. Very tiny aspect of worship. Corporate worship. Because we are talking in the terms of relationship, isn't it? Prayer enables relationship. The word enables relationship. So does worship. I'll give you a testimony. One day I was praying in my house. I was worshiping. I was praying, but it started with worship. So when I turned my light off in the living room, I just walk around because I can see there's still some light. And my kids were sleeping with my wife upstairs. And I was praying. I was worshiping God, just singing. And I walked from the living room. We have an open kitchen. From the living room all the way down through the dining area to the kitchen, and I would walk back. My garden faces Matthew Arnold's school sports ground. So I was worshiping. All of a sudden, I saw myself. I could see all the way through the Matthew Arnold sports ground, their field. And I saw this bird, like an eagle. It was as big, bigger than 747, Boeing 747. Guess where it went? Directly at me. I could see it from my living room. I was under the chandelier. I could see. I was thinking, what's happening? And the closer I got, the bigger I got. And it was as if there was no wall. And it came through my garden, and I was looking, my kitchen, and then the dining area. I'm breaking into the living room. Guess what I did? I ran. Because by the time he got close to me, the claws were so, it was as if, like a plane releasing a tire. It was as if he was going to pick me, and I ran away. And I went upstairs, and my heart was beating. And I said, I shouldn't have run away. I should have just waited to see what God would do. But his presence was so real and so scary. Why? Because I was worshiping. Worship makes God real. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Sometimes we come here to worship, and some people are on their phone. Some are too big to lift their hands. You see, the reason why we don't experience these things is because we are not giving to it wholeheartedly. James 5:16 tells us, you say, when you pray, it says we should pray a heartfelt prayer. You know that, and the scripture that's the word that's used there is also the word for spirit or your soul. You know, put your whole being, your spirit, soul, and body, devote it into that prayer. When you put your whole being in the prayer, God will reveal himself. Every time you come through those doors, try to find a way to cut all those things that will distract your mind. If you need to turn your phone off, turn it off. If there's a friend that distracts you when you sit in the church, sit far from him or her. You know, if there's somebody, you know, just do everything to keep your focus on the Lord. And when you are praying too, do the same thing. There are different prayers where you just pray. There are issues and there are people that you have to pray. That's fine. But when it's a time of meeting with God, make it you and God alone. And expect it. I tell you, God will come. I've not been able to touch on some things. For example, when you're also talking about prayer, one of the easiest way to just enter into the presence of God is speaking in tongues. It's so easy. It's so easy. As you start to speak in tongues, instead of your mind wandering, focus on the Lord. As you are speaking in tongues, before you know it, sometimes prayer within prayer happens. It starts with you praying, then the Holy Spirit takes over. It's the same with worship. It starts with you worshiping. And the point comes when he takes over. Certain songs will start to come out of your mouth. That's what Paul describes as psalms, you know, psalms singing. And hymns, then he now said, spiritual songs. That's the work of the Spirit. Psalms and hymns. You are playing, you are singing away. A point comes when it just takes over. It might be the same song you are singing, but the anointing of the Spirit is all over it. Sometimes my the same prayer you are praying, the anointing of the Spirit of God has taken over. That is what I call prayer within prayer or worship within worship. He takes over. You start to speak like myself and my wife were praying recently, 2 weeks ago. I'm finishing now. Sorry about this. And we wake up Saturday morning to pray together. And when we first started, we'll be struggling and yawning and falling asleep and waking up. We suddenly found that when we start to worship God and then we pray in tongues, the atmosphere in the room just changes completely. And we are awake and alert. And then we start to speak some words in prayer that we will not usually use. At one point, I was praying, and suddenly I started to pray, "Oh God, let the Lion of Judah roar. Let people hear the roar of the Lion of Judah." I don't pray that prayer. And as I was praying for the nation, that the nation, the roar of the lion will awaken this nation. Because when all the animals in the forest hear the lion's roar, what happened? Even if they are asleep, they are awake and afraid. Where is it coming from? And when the lion roars in our nation, the nation will wake up. And see, these are the kind of things that God will stir you up as you pray. He takes over and you start to pray some things that will baffle you. And then you go out 2 or 3 weeks after, you start to see some of those things happening. And you're thinking, Lord? I say, yes. That's what happens when it's me and you working in partnership. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. I really think God is here. His spirit is here. His presence is here. And he's here for you. The reason why he's here is for you. And he wants to reignite your life and set your life ablaze. But at the same time to enable you to live that kingdom lifestyle that will impact the nations, the world around you. But the thing is, there are no shortcuts to these things. We need to give our lives and our time and all that we are to him. Hold nothing back. You just, with God, it's all that he demands. When you give him all, there is nothing he will withhold from you. Abraham started to work in his the promises of God upon his life when he gave Isaac. Isaac was his all. God demands all. And today, I know you've prayed this prayer before, so I'm not going to ask you to pray again. You know how you say, Lord, I give you my all. But when you live here, I want to pray the Holy Spirit will remind you of that prayer that you've said all the time. So that every time you need to do something, you remember, Lord, I told you, I give you my all. So I give it to you again, Lord.